You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Showtime with Coop is powered by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.
Welcome to a new edition of Showtime with Coop, insightful BS with my Laker teammates and NBA legends. And on the show today, we have a young man that my daughter Simone was in love with. She loved her some Mike Schmidt. And I can see it a little bit, but at that time I couldn't see it, Mike. It was fun, but everybody, welcome Mike Smrek to the show. Hi, Mike.
Thank you, Coop. Nick, thank you.
Mike, good to have you, Mike.
Happy to have you. I loved your kids. They're beautiful.
Thank you, Mike. And she loved you, man. Mike is all the way. Okay, Mike, I'm going to read off your bio just a little bit, okay?
Oh, don't do that, Coop.
Mike is a Canadian. He's from Welland, Ontario, having grown up in Port Robinson, Ontario. Am I right, Mike?
So far, so good, Coop.
Okay. A rural farming community, okay? How did the basketball player? Well,
that, Indiana is rural.
Well, Larry Bird was from a farming community, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And he was white, too. I mean, there's the two things you have in common, Mike.
That's what it is. Mike, tell us a little bit about early life for you.
Just like you said, Coop, I grew up in this a small town here. We were a farm, family farm, you know. So that's what I knew growing up in life, was working in the fields, working with, we had cattle, we had, you know, crops in the field, all that stuff. And basketball really wasn't, I mean, some guys maybe in the city played a little bit, but I had no idea until I was about 16 or 17, really, about basketball. So it was.
What were some of your chores?
Oh, geez. Coop, my dad would wake us up at about 6 in the morning. Before school, we'd have to go to the barn and clean the barn and feed the animals and get all that done, then go in and get cleaned up a bit, get ready to go to school, come home from school, and back to work. It was kind of nonstop work at that time, right?
But Mike, you're not explaining the chores. Tell me, did you have to pick up cow
milk
shit?
The cow?
Did you
have to
feed the chickens?
You want to hear the good dirty stuff, right? Yeah, you're darn right. I mean, you get 100 cows in a barn, they make a mess, and that's got to be cleaned up. So yeah,
but that's fertilizer, isn't it?
It is, yes. In fact, that some would say that's the reason why I may have grown so much. I was standing in it so much.
Full of shit.
Yeah, well, that's true, yeah. It was up here, it was a whole different life than in the United States, even in rural areas, you know, like you talk about Larry Bird. But here, if anybody watched anything, it was hockey. And even that, like, I wanted to play, but I couldn't because I lived out in the country and had no way to get into the town, to the arenas, or plus we had to work. So that was out of the question.
But you know, Mike, growing up like that, you don't, when you're a young man going through that, you don't really realize what you're missing, because that's what your life is about at that time. And it's about making things work, and your mom and dad love you. I mean, were you always tall, Mike?
I was. Yeah, always tall. In fact, sometimes you come across these old pictures, and there was one, I think it was about 3 years old, and people look at it and go, what, were you about 8 years old then or something? You know? You're right, like, though. You know, we were sort of isolated here. In fact, there was a number of years where we didn't have a television even. So I didn't, you know, I wasn't watching games. I didn't know anything about that. All I knew really was the work on the farm, you know?
Yeah. So
I'm complaining about that, but it's just the way it was.
Yeah. So in the 10th grade, you're going to school, and I want to know who this coach is that prodded you, pushed you, encouraged you to play basketball, because there's a quote that you said, "Why play? Because I didn't want to hurt his feelings."
That's true. His name was Bill Haluka, and he was actually an electricity coach teacher. He taught an electricity class. And I took that class, and I liked him. He was a nice man, you know, and he said, "Why don't you come on out and play basketball?" I didn't want to hurt his feelings, say I didn't like basketball. So I thought, you know, I'll go out, go to a couple of things, and then quit, right? And he even said, he goes, just have fun. You'll never go anywhere with this, you know, so just have some fun and play a little bit. And that's really how it started. Just crazy little thing like that.
And did you like it, Mike, once you started playing?
You know what? I liked the guys. I mean, I was really like, Coop, I'm talking about totally raw. I had no idea about anything, right? I mean, I had zero idea. But I, the guys were nice guys. It was kind of fun hanging out with them. And then for some reason, which I honestly don't know why, I just kept going with it.
You must have been good.
No.
Eventually. No? Well, glutton for punishment.
You know what? I was big. I was strong. I could run and jump pretty good. So I guess some people thought, I know when I got recruited by Canisius, they said, we can teach you to play. That was kind of the thing, right? Because I wasn't good, no.
So Mike, your physique, you never worked on that? You just, well obviously you worked on it because you were lifting the tractors and trailers and shit like that. But your physique just came about like that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, literally, Coop, since I was like 5 or 6 years old, we were moving like, you know, 100-pound bags of grain and bags of fertilizer and bales of hay. And
that's crazy.
It was always hard physical work. So I was always right on through kindergarten on up. I was always like much stronger than anybody in my classes and stuff like that. It's just the way it was, right?
So is it safe to say we can call you a gentle giant?
I kind of don't like the gentle part. But true, though, you know?
Okay, Mike, so 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. I don't want to mispronounce his name because I always thought it was a weird name, this school you went to. Canisius?
That was the college I went to, yes. Canisius.
Yeah, so how you say it?
Canisius.
Canisius. Okay. Yes. How did Canisius find you?
Yeah, that's a funny story there, too, because they're where I live in Canada is about maybe 15 minutes from Buffalo, New York. And my uncle, who lived in Buffalo, happened to go to a church dinner, a father and son dinner, where the guest speaker was the coach at Canisius. And after the speech, he said, "Hey, I got this real tall nephew that just lives across the border. You should go have a look at him." And that's really how they came over to watch me. Probably laughed, but you know.
Mike, stop making a joke out of your career. You're a damn good player, man.
No, it's true. I actually scored on my own basket that time. When they I thought I made a great play by intercepting the inbound pass, and I scored on my own basket. That's how bad it was.
You had to be coordinated. You had to have coordination. I mean, usually, you know, you see players who just can't, you know, they're not players. People who want to play, and they're just so uncoordinated, they can't even catch the damn ball. You had to be coordinated for them to come see you.
I guess that may have been part of the reason.
Yeah, all right. You know? We found a compliment for you, Mike. There we go.
Thank you. Yeah. You forgot about my extreme good looks. You know, they needed a really good-looking player on the team.
Mike, you know what? You are a handsome man.
Your eyesight is going, man.
Mike, two things that your parents told you when you were little that still you hold dear to your heart now. Two things.
Oh man, that's. I think you know. I can go with my mother always just saying, you know, try to be a good man, a good father, a good husband, and then my dad would always just say, you know, just work and be honest with your work really that's kind of the things that I carry through the most, right?
Hey, it's Nick from Showtime with Coop, and I've got something exciting to share with you all this week. If you're anything like me, you're always on the lookout for fun and simple ways to play daily fantasy sports. Let me tell you, you have to check out my new go-to place. That's Prize Picks. Seriously, this is the most fun I've had playing fantasy sports and winning up to 25 times my money this football season. And here's how it works. You can select two or more players, like for instance, say Saquon Barkley for more than 60 yards and Patrick Mahomes for more than two passing touchdowns. Then just pick more or less on their projected stats and submit your entry. It's that easy. And the best part? It's just you against the numbers. No pros, no sharks, no tricks, right? It's just you against the established numbers. Recently, I tried out their weekly promotion, and you know what? Taco Tuesday is where it's at. Every Tuesday, Prize Picks discount select player projections up to 25% to give even more value. So not only is it easy and thrilling, but there's potential for some really serious returns on your entries. And if you've played with other platforms in the past, let me tell you what. Once I switched to Prize Picks, I genuinely thought, why the heck did I wait so long? Now here's the cherry on top of the cake for you all. Go to prizepicks.com/CLNS and use the code CLNS for a first-time deposit match up to $100. Yep, you heard that right, folks. Again, that's prizepicks.com/CLNS. Use the code CLNS. And always remember, daily fantasy sports is made easy with Prize Picks.
So you go to Kinesis and you play and you get drafted.
Yeah.
And you're the second pick in 1985. You're the second pick, first pick in the second round, and you go to the Portland Trail Blazers. Was that a culture shock for you?
Wait, before you go there, Coop, you're skipping from uncoordinated, can't shoot, wrong basket to the NBA draft. What happened in college?
He was handsome. I said he was handsome.
And handsome. What happened in college? Something had to happen. I mean, did you blossom in college?
Well, Mike, tell us about your college experience.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, you know, I have to give the credit to the coaches at Canisius. They were true to their word. When they recruited me, they said, here's what's going to happen. We're going to play you at least 30 minutes a game, no matter what happens. And we're going to give you 2 years and you're going to give us 2 years. And that's really what happened. I mean, they throw me in there. I mean, I was getting like maybe half a point and half a rebound a game in 30 minutes. Just awful. I go back to my room and stare at the ceiling and just be depressed. Say, what am I doing over here? I had no idea, you know? And I mean, the papers were writing bad stuff about me and, you know, being like 6'11 or whatever, going into the States, they just expect that you should be able to play basketball. You know, and they, in fact, they used to write, they'd say, even though they didn't know I was a farmer, they'd say, he plays like a farmer, you know. I mean, they would write some horrible things about me, you know. But then that was like for the first 2 years. And again, I don't know why I didn't quit.
Because why would you quit, Mike? You're the second leading shot blocker in school history. You have 172 blocks.
Yeah, but I think it took those in the last 2 years.
But a Michael Meeks, yeah. Have you ever met him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know Michael. I mean, I haven't seen him for years, but we played a little bit together on the national team. But, yeah, I, you know, actually most of those stats I did, I think I did them in my final 2 years because that kind of way it worked out. But, you know, I averaged like nothing my first two, and then it turned around and it was, I don't know, 12 and then 15 or 16 points and something. Like, so it kind of was going up those last 2 years, you know.
Were you having fun, though? I mean, did you start having fun with basketball at that time?
No.
Oh my, this is the best interview I've ever fucking had. I'm not joking. This is fucking great.
Oh, it was
the non-fun Michael Smrek gets drafted by the serious contending the Portland Trail Blazers. You're the first pick in the second round, Was it a culture shock going to Portland?
Were you happy when you got a check?
that's another funny thing there, you know, because
they deferred it.
I actually never went to Portland. I was drafted by Portland, but they had a pre-draft deal with Chicago. Because
So you ended up playing with the great Michael Jordan. How the hell was that?
Well, you know, I always say when people ask me about that, I said, I tried to teach him as much as I could before I left. He turned out to be a pretty good player after that, right?
Good impact on him. That was a good influence on the young man.
The CLNS Media Network is powered by FanDuel. Sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston and get in on the action with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed.
When you place a $5 bet, that's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose.
You are listening to Showtime with Coop. And we are kicking the BS today, man, with Mike Schreck. He got it all over us. Mike, we are at the stage of our show where it's called Coop's Lightning Round. I'm going to ask you about five people, and you tell me as much or a little bit about them, okay?
Oh, boy.
Now, do your walk through the NBA, you know, you played with the Lakers, then you went on to play with the San Antonio Spurs, okay? Greg Popovich.
He was just starting out at that point, and obviously a very good coach, knowledgeable of basketball. But what sticks out in my mind with him was one time he was really really yelling at me and laying into me because we were playing, I think it was Sixers, and I was guarding Moses Malone.
Oh, boy.
And I kind of would keep a forearm on him, but keep my body a little bit back because I know he used to love to ram his body into you, kind of knock you off balance, and then do his thing. So I was trying to hold and Greg Popovich was always telling me you got to keep your body right on him, and I was just trying to explain that I don't know that that's going to work. He's going to just knock me down, and he yelled at me, and he was just like, if you were so effing good, you'd still be with the Lakers. So that's my memory of that.
That's a great one.
You said that, Mike.
Yeah, him or Larry Brown. They were both. Yeah, so I really couldn't speak up. You know, I trampled by Moses in there. You know,
Michael Jordan.
Oh, most competitive person I've ever met in my life. Compete with everything. I would guess if you were sat down to have lunch with him, he'd see who could eat the sandwich fastest, probably. He competed with everything, right? At every minute of every practice was just as hard as he did in the game.
Did he ever talk to you?
Did he ever speak with you?
I mean, probably sometimes at some point during practice. I mean, we didn't hang out after or whatever, you know. I mean, I wasn't really in that circle with him and that, but he was always nice to me. I always liked him. I never had any bad thoughts or anything.
What did he say to you?
Pardon me?
What did he say to you? Hey, rookie, go get me some water.
Yeah, I mean, no, make sure you got a clean towel waiting for me. I don't
know. Mike, what year was that? 85, 86?
Yes, that was.
So did you witness the 62-point game against Boston? Were you on that bench?
I did, yes.
Tell us about that.
I sat on the bench.
But you witnessed it. Like, I think my dad was in the stands. I want to see if the two match. What? No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say, right? I mean, it was just an unbelievable performance, obviously, right? One that everybody remembers. So there's probably not much I can add to it, but
afterwards, you go into the locker. I mean, they got swept that series. So, like, but he scores 62. Like, were you all, like, hyped up, or was he pissed off you lost? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. He was never happy if we lost.
Never happy, sure, yeah. Right?
Never happy. You know what the best thing I saw in that? Isn't that the move where he went between his legs, backpedaling Larry Bird, and he hit it off the glass?
Yes, yes.
What'd you think of that, Mike? Did that turn you on, that move?
I think you have that wrong, Coop. That was me that did that.
Coop, you know what's a good one from that one? When Casey Jones thought he should put Bill Walton on Michael Jordan in that game. They tried to put everybody on Jordan that game. Walton had cinder blocks on his feet. Like, there was no way.
No, Mike was on fire that game.
I mean, come on. Come on. There was no way.
Moving on, James Worthy.
Oh my gosh. Definitely one of the best players ever. He was something else. I don't have to tell you, you played with him a lot longer, but I always held him with the highest regard, one of the greatest players ever. In fact, I used to love that one quick spin move where he'd have it in the post. And I know when I went over to Europe to play it, I would try it and they called me traveling every single time. And I said, wait a minute, you can't call that. This is Worthy's move. You know? It was fundamentally sound. It's not traveling.
We're going to get into overseas in a minute, but great story. You were brought to the Lakers to play behind one of the best, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It could, pretty incredible. I mean, you know, yeah, what can I say other than incredible? He's probably the best player, one of the best players ever, right? Ever. Probably even underrated, you know.
He's underrated.
You know, I have so much respect for Cap. So much. It's incredible. I mean, you know, and you come in and got to be honest, you have this healthy, respectful fear of him. You know, you didn't want to come in and start babbling and jawing and talking or being a loud mouth or anything like that. You just come in, be quiet, listen, figure out what you have to do. And you learn fast that, you know, he's 20 years in the league this time. He's faced everything and he's, you know, done everything. And he doesn't need some young guy coming in hacking away at him, trying to prove something. You know, it was learning to put up enough resistance, I guess, to make him work a little bit, just to keep him in shape more or less, because it was, you know, really, what else was I going to do? You know, I mean, it's not never a chance I'm ever even going to be a fraction as good as he to play. You know, those. So you kind of learn this is what you got to do. This is what my job was from that standpoint, you know, to kind of provide enough resistance. You didn't want to piss him off, that's for sure. You know,
did he practice hard, Kareem? Did he practice hard?
That's a trick question. Yeah, I can remember times that, you know, he was 40 years old and they still had a hard time beating him down the floor. You know, he was amazing.
Michael Thompson used to say, we were just there to take his Kareem elbows because he'd elbow you in practice.
The legendary elbows.
And he always had them up, you know. He always had them up.
I love the story Barkley tells about his first All-Star game. And he's outside the locker room with Bird and McHale and Magic. And he says, oh, my God, there's Cap, there's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Kareem's over there reading a book, you know, like Kareem would read a book. And they said, go over and say hi to him. He's the nicest guy in the world. You're gonna love him. They all stood there and watched. And Barkley goes over, says, Mr. Jabbar, I can't tell you how much you're my hero. And Kareem looks up and goes, I'm reading. Put his head right down in the book. Charles walked back with his tail in between his legs, and Bird and McHale and Magic are dying laughing. That's a great story.
Typical. Last but not least, Mike, Kobe Bryant, the late, great Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, wow. I mean, what a player. Like, the whole thing from mental, physical, everything. Just, you know, such a great player, and obviously a tragic loss, but so much respect for him as well as a player. I didn't know him personally, but I certainly respected the way he worked and approached the game and everything he accomplished, without a doubt, you know.
You're listening to Showtime with Coop, insightful BS with Laker teammates and NBA legends, and we have Mike Schmrack in the house today. Mike, in 1986, you had an opportunity to go to the Boston Celtics. But you chose the Lakers. Why?
I heard they had this really nice guy named Michael Cooper.
With a 7-year-old daughter that would have a crush on.
Oh, don't make it sound like that, Coop. That's bad.
Whoa.
It might be from a small town, but it is not like that.
But, Mike, why did you make that choice? I mean, go back east or come out west?
Yeah, the reason I made that choice was I had heard that the Celtics were signing Bill Walton again, or he was coming off injury or something. He was going to be back playing again. And I this is kind of a crazy thought, I guess, but I know they had Parrish, and then with Walton coming, I thought, okay, I'm probably never going to play. I guess I probably should have thought, hey, they got Kareem. I probably never going to play. That didn't occur to me, I guess. And I just decided the Lakers, which in hindsight turned out to be a fortunate decision in the long run.
Who got two championships. We won. Well, you helped us win two championships.
Well, I had a small part, Cooper. It was in thanks to you guys. I've always said, like, anything that has arisen out of that in terms of my life later is a result of being fortunate enough to be around you guys, because you guys were the guys that did it. I had a little part, and that's fine. You know, I mean, and I was lucky to be there. And, you know, even almost 40 years later, you know, I still am appreciative of that fact. It's not something small, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what, Mike, and I always say this about everybody that's been through that organization. As you say, your part was little, mine was little too. But I mean, you never, never, ever knocked that little part, because you guys, everybody was significant from 1 to 13 was significant in helping us win the championship. And we were very, very happy to have you then. But speaking of that, Mike, I want to talk a little bit about the reunion. You know, we won all the championships. We had that reunion. What was that, a year and a half ago,
a year ago in September.
Yeah, a year ago. What are your thoughts on that reunion? Oh, did you receive your book, Mike?
I did, yes.
Okay. You know what, Mike? I have some – in this room, I'm down in my basement. I have – or the man cave, not a basement. I'm in my man cave. I have a thing where I put, like, you know, people send you letters, fan mail and stuff like that. I don't know how this got down here, but I just found mine yesterday. Wow. So I just actually saw that book. Tell us about your thoughts and the experience and some of your feelings about the reunion in Maui.
One of the greatest times in recent years of memory to see the guys again. Because I say this all honesty, Coop, since that time, I hadn't seen most of you since we won the last championship. I hadn't seen most of the guys. And but probably not a week ever went by in my life where I didn't think about all of you and think about things that I had learned about that from the guys on that team and the experiences, and to get back together, which is probably something I never thought we would do. So there's a couple of thoughts. It was so unbelievably great. I can't even explain how great it was to see everybody. But then to think of the generosity of Magic and Coach Riley and everybody else involved to put that together and bring us all out there and put us up and make such a wonderful week the way they did was, you know, I hope people that hear about that and read it understand just that doesn't happen unless the people involved are truly, truly good people, tremendous people and caring people. You know, that was one of the things that, you know, when we got off that van there and Urban was, he made everybody feel like family. And suddenly when we saw each other, it actually felt like we were sitting in the locker room again 35, 40 years before, you know.
That's what I tell people. It's like you don't miss a beat, because it was like I didn't see us as we were then, bald, fat, you know, old and everything. I saw us young, you know. I saw you with brown, long hair, okay? I saw you with a full head of hair. I hope you saw me with my little hair that I had and a little bit thinner, but it was such a great experience. And you know what I'm hearing now, Mike, that the Warriors and some other team, people talking about trying to do something like that. And, you know, Lakers have always tried to been the front runners in anything in basketball. Obviously, we're tied with the Celtics for championships, but something like that was almost speechless, man. It really was.
Exactly. It's almost impossible to fully describe that feeling and what it was like. And it was incredible. It really was.
Give me two moments, Mike, that, you know, I mean, there were so many, but give me two moments for you that really stood out.
One, seeing Urban again. And two, honest, and this is not a joke, Coop, was seeing you.
Thank you, Mike.
And that's
thank you for calling me the same first name, Mike.
That's the truth. That was probably the two of the biggest highlights right there, you know.
Mike Schreck, you're about to make me cry, and I don't want to cry on this podcast. I'm very, very serious about that. Okay.
I might cry too. I have no reason to, or just for Coop.
Well, we're having our bromance moment here. Sure. But Mike, I truly like you, man. I love you, actually, because I love all my Lakers teammates. Anybody that came in and spent the year, whether we won a championship or not that year, I mean, I'm very, very respectful and cherish all my teammates. That's one of the things I say about being retired. When I retired, was I was going to miss the camaraderie on the bus and the camaraderie in the locker room.
Yes.
That was all special moments.
Exactly. Those are the most important things. And people always talk about the rings. They're nice. But, yeah, it's those moments with the guys. I mean, you know, just talking about it now, I can go in there, I can see where every guy was sitting, and I can still hear the laughing and the joking and the talking, and I – you know, and the good times, the bad, the harder times, all of that. That's the important thing. That's the stuff that stays with you. And that's the real meaning of all of it, really, to me. And I think everybody, and I feel the same way. I have, you know, I really love all the guys that I was playing with, really, truly, you know.
So I have a question. So when you said you hadn't talked to anybody in all these years or seen them, maybe you talked, so when did an invitation come in the mail? Did somebody call you first? Like, how did you hear about Hawaii?
I think Lon Rosen. I think
Lon Rosen, Magic's agent,
email somehow. Or no, you know what? Actually, what it was somehow. I think Irvin may have called Canisius College athletic director, who was still the same.
Like, this is what I mean, right? Because like, who does that today?
Yeah.
No, I mean, Magic, who's one of the greatest players of all time, and no offense, Mike, but he's calling the 12th man, right? He's making you're there. Like, to me, that's just the special nature of Magic Johnson. I mean, like, he didn't have to do that, you know?
If I could add to that, Nick, you know, because Canisius had called me excited as heck because Magic himself, you know, was calling on the phone. So they called me, hey, he's trying to reach you. And then one day I'm driving driving my daughter to a volleyball practice, and the phone rings and it comes on as the speaker on the thing. And it was Irvin calling me on my phone, and my daughter's sitting there. And she's like, Magic Johnson is calling you?
That is awesome.
And I kind of played it off like, yeah.
That's just Magic. Talk, you know? Two titles.
Yeah.
Talk every day. Yeah, that's my boy.
But, you know, to hear his voice all those years later, and Nick, to your point, to think that, you know, I mean, so many guys came and went, and he, like, you know, you guys were the core group for that whole decade, and I was only there for the 2 years, but for him to call me as though I was somebody, you know, and I got to be honest, too, it made me feel kind of nice in front of my daughter, you know.
She'll never forget it. Never forget that.
A little bit of ego there, I guess, you know.
That's remarkable. That's remarkable.
Yeah.
So, Mike, through your travels, and I know I'm trying not to jump around, trying to keep this on a thing.
Chronological.
The one thing I do want to talk about, because I had such a great experience. As I played with the Lakers, I left the Lakers in 91. I thought that was pretty much going to be my career, but I get a call from Il Messaggero, and they want me to come and play overseas. And I go to Rome, and I play it here. You play for four league. And what other team overseas? You played for three or two teams?
I played for Forlì in Italy. Then I played in Greece. And then years later, I played in Croatia for 1 year.
Okay. So how was your – mine was great. I had a wonderful experience, man. I mean,
yeah.
I don't care where I would have went. I would have enjoyed it anyway. But, again, being in Rome was kind of like being in New York or L.A. But tell us about your experience over there playing.
I loved being over there. You know, living right in there was great. It was such a different experience. You know, they'd go into different places, and after the game, you'd sit and you have these big meals for a couple of hours with the team, and it was a whole different way of life, I guess, in a way. And I really enjoyed it. I liked it. Ended up, the basketball experience didn't completely pan out the way it would have been nice. So I ended up getting cut from them, but. Overall, I still love the experience, you know, because you know how it is over there, Coop, is that they, if they're winning, they love you. If you're losing, they hate you, right? So they can switch players pretty quick, right?
Real quick.
Sounds like Boston. Sounds like Boston to me. I mean, right?
But, so Mike, you're retired. You have a lovely daughter, Anna. She's what, 6'7", 6'8", Anna?
6'9", Coop.
6'9", and she plays on Wisconsin's championship team. So the championship bloodline runs from you to her. What is that like to have to be, see your daughter get out there and participate in a very growing sport? I mean, women's volleyball has always been big, but it's only getting bigger.
It is. It's growing. It's crazy that the crowds they're bringing to games now. In fact, when they won that championship, there was 19,000 people in the stadium.
Wow. Yeah.
The championship. But, you know, it is. It's wonderful to see my daughter in that position. And what was sort of nice to me is she had a big part of it. She was like one of them, you know. I mean, it's certainly a team game and everybody had their input, but she really came up big and she ended up getting MVP of that tournament for that year. So I was very proud of her that she kind of, you know, I was riding on the coattails with you guys kind of thing. Like we talked about before, I had a smaller part, but she had an actual real big impact. So
but she was voted newcomer of the year, right?
She didn't get rookie of the year, but she got the MVP of the NCAA tournament.
Okay, okay.
Which was nice as a freshman, right?
So, yeah.
But every player in that team had their part, you know. So, but I was very proud of it. And then not to leave my son out, but he had a good tennis career at Marquette, and I was very proud of him as well. You know, okay. What he did with his. I got to give equal time to, you know.
Or you'll be considered a bad dad. So you don't want that to happen.
I don't want that. No. Because they can both kick my butt.
So, Mike, what do you do now to occupy your time? I know you and your wife have some things going on.
You know, I'm quite busy with podcasts, people asking for interviews. I had to open my schedule up to, you know, allow some time for you and Nick here. But
Well, we thank you for that. But what do you do? I see in the background. Is that your office you're in?
I don't really have an office, Coop, but if I want to sound, make it more, a little more impressive, I can see it. This is where my business takes place. Yes. You know what? It's funny how much time you spend just with everyday life things when you kind of retire or semi-retire, right? I mean, I still do some work on the side, but it's amazing how you just seem to be busy. You know, you got friends like, hey, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Or go do this. Or it just, the next thing you know, your days fly by. And you just imagine somehow stay busy.
Well, Mike, we really appreciate you being on the show today. And we just want to thank you so much, Mr. Schmreck. you're that guy. And we appreciate it. Anything you got going that you want to talk about, tell the listeners?
No.
One of the best episodes, I think.
I just there you have it. Go I ahead.
Thank both of you guys, because you know what, Coop, when you it was a real exciting, always exciting to talk to you and see you, and I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
This was great.
There you have it. Man, a few words. I'm not going to say the GG. He don't like the gentle part, but the giant. Mike Schmreck. Thank you, big fella. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. God bless you guys. Thank you. Take care.
Showtime with Coop is powered by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.